Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello and welcome. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Bill Cameron on assignment today. I heard a great story the other day about journalists being on assignment and how it's our favorite term for when someone is. I think Bill's got a wedding to get to this weekend, family wedding, you know, and he's missing a day. I like to say just in general when someone's not here, they're on assignment. I don't want to get the journalist wrong, but I think it's one of the newsmen of like the, you know, whether it was Dan Rather or one of those. Their boat was called assignment. So when they were missing days, you know, they'd say he's on assignment today, and it was he was out on his boat. That's Coach Don Dunn. He's hanging out with us for a couple of hours. The barbecue chef, our defensive line coach, our main guy. Thanks for coming in and pulling double duty this week, Coach. As we move some things around, sometimes we have Justin Ferguson on Thursdays or Fridays. He's got a family thing this weekend, so he came in earlier in the week. Jake Crane will join us at 5:30. We had to bump Jake from Tuesday this week because of some scheduling stuff, and so Jake more than gracious and happy to appear in the second hour to talk a little College World Series, little football preview, as it feels like a lot of that stuff is starting to kick into gear. The pro sports winding down their did the Panthers win last night? Did they end up so that's still going on. I tapped out when the Oilers when the Panthers tied it at the very end of regulation. I said I don't know if I got overtime in me tonight. But then they were in overtime a while. All right. So they at least the players didn't tap out, but the and then of course the finals. I think a surprising three games in the finals. You got the Pacers up 2-1 and looking to go up 3-1 at home in game four this weekend. I think the Thunder were an overwhelming favorite going into that series, and now maybe from the moment the Pacers won game one, it feels like you've had a series on your hands. But it's I still can't shake that I think the Thunder are better. But it's like that you haven't seen that consistently through the series so far. So we'll see if that stops in game four, or if this thing could really turn up the heat on Oklahoma City. It's a Friday in the off season. We've got a little bit of. I mean, we don't have any like we said yesterday, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
You don't if you're in the position of football coach or basketball coach. You don't want your players in the news right now. I'd say by and large, you're happy with a quiet off season. By and large, you're happy with radio silence coming out of your program between. I mean, obviously, you want people talking a little bit at media days and the preseason poll. But as far as like individuals making news, right now is not really the time you want to see that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You want everything to go smooth. Everybody to do what they're supposed to do. Be on time. Continue to work out, stay healthy, and stay out of trouble. You don't want any late night phone calls.
What were the when you had new players coming to campus in June and July? Were those sort of the pointers for what you needed to do before fall camp kicks into gear? Because there are there were rules about how involved you could be in June and July with these players before fall camp actually started. And in the case, I mean, sometimes you'd have junior college players mm-hmm. who weren't going to be here until August, and sort of your general tips, Coach Don's mm-hmm. Rules of thumb here would include stay healthy and do everything you can to stay out of trouble.
Right. Do what you're supposed to do. Be early. Set your clocks up 10 minutes, those little things. constant reminders. Also had to make sure they didn't get homesick and want to leave. Mm. So you had to spend a little more time with them. Try to sign them with an older player, you know, like a big brother system. Coach Tubb did a great job of when we finally got everybody together, we would have different guys come in from the community, like the chief of police, the campus police chief, some people that would help them with their banking if they needed to open a banking account. Some of these kids never been away from home, don't know how to do laundry.
These are good people to know in the community, yes, too, just in general. And, not that I know the chief of police or anything.
But they have people that would help them. You know, a lot of these kids didn't even know how to do laundry, didn't know anything. How to make a bed, which I'm sure they never did.
Can you think of, and you don't have to, you know, feel free to name a name if you want. Can you think of an example of a guy who was real homesick and shook it off and ended up having a great Auburn career?
I'll tell you one at Ole Miss.
Okay, all right.
Deuce McAllister.
Yeah, absolutely.
I recruited Deuce. He comes in about the second day. He said, I'm going home.
Wow.
And my throat. He was probably our best recruit at that time, not because of me, but he really helped us turn the program around. We were on probation over there.
Sure.
Only had 12 scholarships. And anyway, he came in, so I made a couple of calls to his mom and his high school coach. And
where was he? Was he in New Orleans?
No, he was from a little town in Mississippi.
Okay.
Little bitty town in Mississippi.
I guess because of the Saints time. I thought maybe his home. But right, yeah, you're right.
But,
yeah.
And thank goodness he did come back. And the rest is history.
No, that's you're right. What a story. And without knowing how it would have gone for Deuce, because he was a very talented guy, probably would have made it work anywhere. But you don't want to, I mean, that's a pivotal time in your career. Right, and you don't want to, especially in those years.
He had a very strong mom, called her, and she handled it.
She let him know that it would be a mistake.
Like it's one of them deals that, well, you can come back, but you're going to go, you know, to the wood pulp.
It ain't going to be like it was.
Right.
If you come back. All right. Well, that's amazing. And yeah, So we're wide open. 334-321-1390, the Drive hotline presented by our friends at Skybar. Text the show. 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Like I said, Jake Crane, potentially in hour number two. Love to hear from you on the phones as we, you know, what were we, a couple, we've been playing this game on the Observer podcast. I'll tell you what, because this is a hard reboot. Let's take an early break. We'll come back and we'll do some of this with Coach Don Dunn, because we've been playing, yeah, sort of top fours and remembering some names, and people have been getting a kick out of it. And I know I got a couple of those for you when we come back. So we'll talk some maybe a little memory lane, you know, remembering some guys with our coach. Maybe some grill talk. You never know where we're gonna go.
Father's Day, crank it up.
Father's Day too, of course. Yeah, don't forget about that.
And don't forget Father's Day Sunday.
On Sunday. So we'll be back with more. You are listening to The Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Coming in August of 2020
on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Hour number one of the Friday edition of The Drive, Friday the 13th. On the Drive. Whenever Bill's in the house, Bill on assignment today. whenever Bill's in the house on a Friday the 13th, he used to bring in before the copyright police started paying attention. Used to bring in like the, you know, some of his favorite music from horror films. Uh-huh. and a little bit of that. I'm not a slasher movie guy. The Friday the 13th and the Nightmare on Elm Street and the Halloween films, aside from the first one, which is a strong horror film. Those were never really like my bag as horror movies go. psychological stuff to me is always like, I mean, Exorcist.
Yeah. Rosemary's, I like what I call the real ones.
Yeah. And Exorcist and Rosemary's Baby are in there.
Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs. Alien.
Alien.
I've got original. Or, like, if you don't know what's going to happen,
it is so scary.
The first time you've Jaws. Seen Alien, like, absolutely. Yeah. Jaws is right there, too.
Yeah. But I like calling the real scary. I'm like you.
Yeah.
I'm not a big. Halloween, a crazy mask.
Yeah, buckets of blood and gore. No, yeah, that's not really. And the movies we just listed, while there are some violent moments, I don't think the reason that, like, I don't think any of those films are associated with just, like, nonstop.
Right.
Like, so, yeah, there's some good stuff out there, hopefully. Yeah. But no, yeah, I think we're kindred spirits on this one. Sounds of Lamb's a great one.
Oh man. My God.
And he's barely in that movie.
I know.
Too. It's
amazing.
It's the power of having like a memorable performance like that, where you can be in a movie for 12 or 13 minutes or whatever it is that Hannibal Lecter is actually on screen. I may have gotten that number wrong, but he's not in the film very much at all.
Right.
But all of his scenes are the ones you remember, and just one of the all-time greats.
I'm not a big superstitious guy, even though I did wear the same socks in 04. I've told that story. Now, my wife was born on Friday the 13th.
Is that right?
In August, so I can't be too worried about
it. You got
that.
Lucky enough.
Yeah, I was very lucky.
On a 13th.
Lucky.
That's, you know, I was going to ask about superstitions and the 04
that's
thing.
That's the only one I had the sock deal.
Do you remember
the same socks?
Do you remember a player or colleague who had one that was memorable or made you?
You know,
made
Coach Tubb used to carry a handkerchief, a certain.
Okay.
It was like almost like a Western, like a red handkerchief, or a little. I don't know where he started that. I remember that at Ole Miss, the first game, he pulled it out of his pocket.
I don't know if I have like a lucky charm like that. I did. You know what I did bring to the, and I'm not doing all that hot in the fantasy baseball league, but at the draft this year, I brought, and I think it's going to be one of my new trademarks, I have a dollar chip from the Mirage, which closed down last year, the Vegas casino out there.
Famous.
And I figure they're not making any more of those.
Right.
At least. I don't know. I'm not talking about value or anything like that, but it's a nice little memento to have from
so
the last time
I
was in the house.
Rabbit's foot or anything like
nothing
that.
Nothing like that. No, you know, it's something easier to keep a casino chip in the wallet than a
rabbit's foot.
Yeah, or the rest of a rabbit or whatever.
Yeah.
Something like that. But no. I've never been a terribly superstitious guy either. I don't like, and I guess this goes along with the NBA, with the NHL playoffs going on right now. When my team is, if a team I really care about is hot, I will sometimes get skittish about getting a haircut. I will sometimes think like, oh man, we're hot. Because there have been, not that I had anything to do with it.
Right.
But there have been multiple occasions in my life where I could say, that's a ridiculous thing. My hair length has nothing to do with how the team is going to play in the next game.
Yeah.
And I get my hair cut and the team doesn't play well and we lose. Mm-hmm. Like it happened, you know what I mean? So, and to the point where they made fun of me when I got a haircut before UCLA's Final Four game against Gonzaga, because it was getting unseemly. I looked. Like I lived in my car,
right?
And it was like, all right, I gotta do something here. And I got the trim, and we lose at the buzzer on a. Anyways, there are two unrelated things that happened that week. But sometimes the Troy folks will get on me about it too if I break that tradition, like mid season or something, because every little bit,
right?
Season in conference play, every little bit counts. So yeah, if you got a favorite superstition,
that's good topic.
Yeah, something like that, because I always love hearing about something that you had to do, or
guys would walk the same way on game day, leaving the locker room.
I know a lot of tap
the side of this wall or that wall, or always hit the above thing, and some wouldn't touch it, and it's like touching the before the Stanley Cup. You know, a lot of, they will not touch the conference trophy.
That's a Troy thing. They've got the
not cut the nets down for the SEC tournament waiting on the NCAA tournament.
They've got the Sun Belt tournament right there, you know, prominently displayed in Pensacola for the men's and women's basketball teams if they want to take pictures and all that. I don't even like looking at it.
Yeah.
I said I don't even like looking at it till it's ours.
Right.
Like, and when it's ours, we can look at it all we want. But until then, like you're window shopping.
Yeah.
At a store that you can't go in, you know, yet. So I'm just, you know, that's where I love hearing stories like about
where you sit on the team bus.
Sure. You know, I was gonna say that I know of coaches who don't like to switch drivers. Like, I know that there are, you know, with certain, you know, if they use the same company, they have a, you know, they want to have their guy. And I don't know how much of that's superstition and how much of that's familiarity being with the team and comfort and things like that. But the fact is, I know of a couple of coaches around college baseball and college basketball that do not like to switch. And do not like to switch drivers if they have a bus driver that they've had for a while.
Exactly. And in football, you usually had an offensive bus and a defensive bus. The offensive bus always was first. The head coach always got on the offensive bus. The defense coordinator would sit on the right side in the front seat. I would always try to sit on the left side, either in the front or second seat. It's crazy.
Okay, so another topic that Ferguson and I got into this week. Games, and it can be one way or the other, games you were totally wrong about going in. Games where you thought either were in big trouble and it was beyond smooth sailing, or games where you were absolutely certain your team had the edge one way or the other and you got blindsided.
A couple
that come to mind, some of the upset victories. I thought that after losing Chuma Okeke in the Elite Eight, after losing Chuma Okeke in the Sweet 16, the thought that you're going to go beat Kentucky in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four back in 2019, to me, that's one of the great, considering the circumstances and the opponent and the stakes, that's one of the great Auburn victories in any sport ever. And it's just it's a remarkable sort of, and then, you know, I guess around that same time period, also from 19, I remember, even though Auburn had a true freshman quarterback and it had not been, you know, there had been turbulence already, I remember thinking that when Auburn went to Florida in 19 in football, and that was Dan Mullen, and that was Kyle Trask was the new quarterback. You know, that Florida had an injury. I think it was Felipe Franks gets hurt. And Florida has to go bring in a guy who hadn't started a game in years. He'd been a backup in high school for a couple of years. And suddenly he has to start against Auburn. And I just remember thinking, like, there's no way. There's no, I mean, even though it's Florida in Gainesville, you're not going to have a guy who's coming off the bench for the first time in 3.5 years. And the last time he played, it was, you know, a 10th grade game in high school or something. And it's like suddenly he's going to be, he played great, and Auburn, you know, didn't have the answers that day, and I would imagine it's one thing to lose a game where you feel like you fired out, you know, you fired off everything you had, and it wasn't your day. It's got to be another one to feel like, you know, maybe you let a winnable one slip, or one that you felt like going in.
Oh yeah,
you had a great feeling about it, and that's not the way.
Yeah,
it went
the Tennessee game in 04 comes to mind in Knoxville.
Yeah,
I never thought we would beat them like that and just demolish them.
I didn't like that they were rotating quarterbacks, because I remember just thinking, like, you got two, like, stick with a guy and let him get into a rhythm.
Right.
But they were so talented. I mean, they won the East that year. You saw them again in the SEC championship game. And that was an East with a couple pretty good, it's a good Georgia team in the East that year. That was a pretty good Florida team in the East that year. Yeah. And Tennessee is the one that Auburn plays in Atlanta. But no, you're right. That game in Knoxville. And I think that game took a lot of people by surprise.
Yeah.
Like, that was a game where maybe folks started.
Over at halftime,
and even though you guys had already beaten LSU,
right?
Like, I think folks barely. Maybe started to. Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah,
is the thought that, like, okay, you guys beat LSU,
no doubt.
But that game was so razor thin.
Five interceptions.
This game wasn't razor thin. This game was a one sided.
And we physically beat them. You know, they hit down on the goal line.
The highlight of Ronnie Brown going through the going through the safety, an All-American safety from Muscle Shoals.
Yes.
Yeah, good player. Really good player. And
then you come to the other side of that coin, the year we went up to Vanderbilt and just scored 13 straight points and got beat 14-13.
Oh, wait.
That was terrible.
Absolutely. No, that's terrible. And that game, I guess, sort of like from the Tennessee side in 04, mm-hmm. when you're playing multiple quarterbacks,
yeah,
it feels like the bottom can drop out all of a sudden, and an offense can go. And that was
so hard.
Yeah, and that would have been the 08 team. So that team's dealing with that team's dealing with Todd's injury too when he's trying to play. I told Chris during that season, and then when he played well in 09, like I was so glad that he got to have that season where he was healthy, because you could just tell. He was gut. I mean, I don't know if it hurt to throw the ball. It looked like it was hurting him to push the ball downfield. And so I'm glad that he ended up getting that redemption a year later. But you're right, that 08 Vanderbilt game was I was an absolute sneak attack in Nashville that night. And
we go up bang bang and then nothing.
Yeah, no, that was awful. That felt like maybe the start of the
end.
Yeah, I mean because even and I think I don't have it right in front of me, but like there's a home loss to LSU a little bit earlier than that, but that game came down to the wire, right? Like you've got there's lead changes in the fourth quarter of that game, and so you're still not sure what this Auburn team is,
right?
That first quarter, like you said, is a dream against Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the game happens, and the rest of that season happens. Yeah. And it never recovered. It's down for the count, and I mean, you lived it, but I was going to say that's a great answer. It's probably not. I mean, it's probably not a. Yeah. But no, that is. I remember being in that stadium that night and just wonder. Yeah. Can't imagine what it was like on the bus.
It wasn't fun.
No, I can imagine. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. Yeah, no, I had a couple of those, like, you know, one way or the other. Like Tennessee in 04 is a great one. Because you guys, I think starting in 04 pretty much till the end, it feels like you guys have a puncher's chance in all of them, right? Yeah. There's not a game where you, like, it's probably easier to pick games where you were a favorite, and it's like, that team snuck up on you, gotcha. Because there really weren't that many games where folks looked at it between 04 and the end of your tenure and say you didn't go into that many games as a big underdog,
right?
Like just in general. And so the game kind of like 08 Vandy that comes to mind for me is that 06 Arkansas game,
right before
you guys play Florida, you're the number two team in the country, and an Arkansas team that also ends up winning the West.
Right.
Early in the season, you may not know how good some of these teams are. Mm-hmm. Arkansas, you know, comes in with three NFL running backs and an offensive coordinator named Gus Malzahn.
Yeah.
What was shocking about that to me on like the outside was it felt like some of the stuff they're running is kind of elementary.
Yeah.
Right? But they've got five really good offensive linemen and two NFL running backs, and there goes Darren McFadden.
Yeah, yeah. And then we go there and beat them with the same guys next year.
That's right. You go in place. Yeah,
and unbelievable.
Shut them out for most of that game a year later, going get yours. 334-321-1390. Always great to talk about just about anything with our pal, Coach Don Dunn, here in hour number one of The Drive. Love to hear from you. Skybar, presenting sponsor of The Drive Hotline. Our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors sponsoring the podcast and the text box as well. 334-564-1840 on The Drive text box. We'll be back with more. You're listening to The Drive. Welcome back. Hour number one of the Friday edition of The Drive. Getting into the swing of things. Dan Peck, Coach Don Dunn, Drew at the controls. Three-man band today.
Yeah.
We're like the police or Rush. I think three guys in Russia.
You have
I think
to go to country.
Okay. Okay. All right. We're like the three guys behind Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
We're like no Johnny Cash today.
Right.
He's in black. He's on assignment. He's on assignment. Yeah. Bill's in Folsom today. So he'll be back to tell us about his adventure later on. I want to amend something from that last segment too, because we were talking about a topic that had come up on the Observer podcast: games that you were just dead, Auburn games you were dead wrong about, one way or the other. And I felt bad because I was like, I hate to just point out upset losses, right, but the fact is, for the last 5 or 6 years of the Tuberville era at Auburn, there weren't very many games at all, wins or losses. There weren't very many games where you guys were huge underdogs. Mm-hmm. And a game that came to mind as soon as I said that was the Florida win in 07. At Florida in 07, Urban Meyer had not lost a game at home.
Right.
I mean, that's Urban's first home loss 3 years into his tenure.
Yeah.
They're the reigning national champion. Tebow's event, he wins the Heisman that year. I mean, he's right there with Percy Harvin. I think folks thought there was going to be a Florida LSU like 1-2 game if both teams had gotten through that weekend.
Right.
And all Florida has to do is get past an Auburn team that had had a slow start to the season. Mm-hmm. What do you remember about preparing for that game and then actually going out there and pulling off one of the signature wins of Coach Tuberville's era?
That was a situation, once we got into the game, the longer the game went, the more confident we got. Honestly, going down there, probably deep in my mind, I knew it was going to be hard, hard, hard. Did we have a chance? Yeah, but can we take care of business against a really good team on the road on a Saturday night in Gainesville? But the more we played, the more confident everybody got. And then, you know, at the end, it was crazy with the timeout.
There might be some younger listeners where it's like,
right,
that Gainesville used to be a place that road teams didn't win.
You didn't want to go there, like, especially on a night game.
Like even when Zook was there, he took care of business, mm-hmm, at home, mm-hmm, more often than not. Spurrier's home record is hilarious. Yeah, like Spurrier spends a decade losing like 5 or 6 home games in his entire tenure.
Maybe.
And then Urban Meyer doesn't lose very many home games between 2004 and, mm-hmm, and 2010.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that place spent decades as, like, I mean, maybe it wasn't one, but your top tier of home advantages in college football was incomplete without the Swamp in Gainesville.
Swamp and, of course, LSU at night, Georgia, Alabama, anywhere. Those were
the SEC contenders seemed to be.
But you're right. A tough place to play in the Swamp.
And just, yeah, I mean,
and usually it was hotter than heck. Humid.
Oh, sure.
Even in October.
Early in the season. I mean, early enough in the season for that still to be a factor as well. And for
fans,
you guys
are well lubricated.
For you, ready. I mean, for you guys too. That game is, you know, when I talk about if you want to avoid an upset or if you want to pull off an upset, the longer the game is close,
right,
the more uncomfortable the favorite gets.
Exactly.
Especially at home, if you want evidence of that, go back and watch Auburn Florida 07, because that is a game where a team that folks thought, like, I think folks thought it was 14-0 before the game started.
Right.
Right. Like, folks thought you guys were going in this big hole. Right. There were a couple of long Auburn drives that, mm-hmm, end in touchdowns, which really sapped Florida's, you know, and I think the other thing was a couple of short Florida drives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing was like a stomach punch to that crowd,
right,
more than the thought of Auburn, which was not known for explosive offense that, mm-hmm, season. You know, with Brandon Cox and a group of receivers that were absolutely, like, that played hard, mm-hmm, and did their jobs, but I think folks, you know, like, we're not seen as big play threats. Like, right. I mean, look, love Rod Smith. You know what I mean? Like that's, I mean, like that's the story of a guy showing up at the open tryout.
Right.
And making a catch and someone saying, maybe he should come to practice tomorrow and eventually becoming like a starting receiver on the team. You don't see that in, like, that, there's not an SEC player who has that story.
And like you said, we, the longer we were on the field keeping their offense off and Tebow on the sideline, it's hard to beat you when you're on the sideline.
Between the long Auburn drives and then like Florida just, you know, especially on third down, they wouldn't have it. And suddenly it's like, oh, they're getting off. Like you're waiting for Tim Tebow and Percy Harvin to get out there and take over. And it just never happened. And by the time Florida makes their surge in the fourth quarter, you guys are still in position to win the game with a West Byram three-pointer.
Two of them, and
you need to hit another one after the first one gets waved off. And Wes, look, for a whole bunch of reasons, he's got his place in Auburn history. That victory in 07 is
big time.
And a little chomp from the Florida.
I can see him running down the field. I said, oh, Lord.
Florida guy as well. No, that's
got to play him again next year.
That's one of that really was like, I mean, because like I said when I started, like there weren't that many games where it's like, oh, you guys are going in as massive underdogs, and that was one where not only did you go in as a massive underdog, but you pulled off a signature win, you know, towards the tail end of that time, right? And that Arkansas win you mentioned is right. That's a stretch. I think the last second loss to LSU in 07 at the touchdown.
In the end
the
zone.
Touchdown in the back of the I think in a month you guys play the Florida game with the West Byram game winner.
Right.
The Arkansas game with the West Byram game winner. And that LSU game in Baton Rouge.
Which we should have won.
Which and to think you almost go 3-0 in that stretch, but also like just, I mean, what a month of football.
Right.
Like, what a month of football to have lived and watched and coached in.
And so, back in those days, too, we played Georgia, and then the next week, Alabama.
That
lasted forever.
Two games I vividly remember thinking, we were the last thing stopping them. And I know for LSU, like, so many things had to break right for them.
Right.
Because they end up going to the national championship as, like, a two-loss team. And,
right.
And I think they jumped from, like, 6-2 in the final poll or something because everyone ahead of them lost.
Right.
But that, like, that LSU team, I remember thinking that was as close as they're going to come to losing. And we're gonna and they're gonna win the national championship. And we were that close to beating them in Baton Rouge, but it was instead, you know, just what wasn't to be that night. And then when Bama makes the comeback in 09 and wins that game, I remember leaving the Iron Bowl that day thinking, you know, that's probably gonna be they might just continue this march all the way to the national championship game. And if so, you're gonna think you were that close to putting a wrench into it and it didn't happen. And sure enough, 09 ends up being I think it's, he maybe had another one. It was Saban only had a handful of undefeated teams at Alabama, and that first champion in 09
and Auburn had him beat here.
Auburn had him on the ropes, up two scores early, and up a score late in the fourth quarter. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. We're chatting with Coach Don Dunn about anything going on in the world of sports. Of course, College World Series. We'll see if Drew Efford an update on the College World Series. Coastal won.
All right.
Fantastic! Sentimental favorite for me. I'd like to
Murray State and Coastal.
Oh, Murray State would be fantastic. Just like Fresno 20 years ago, where like you're an automatic qualifier as a four seed, like a mid major, and you go all the way to the College World Series. I want to see you go all the way. I want to see him, you know, pull this thing off. Fresno did it 20 years ago, beat Georgia in the championship as one of the last teams in. Of course, Ole Miss, they didn't do it as a mid-major.
Right.
Ole Miss was the last team in the draw a couple of years ago and won the entire thing. And Murray would be fantastic, and I think Coastal would be
7-4 Arizona.
Yeah, I mean that's a I loved seeing the way their fans represented last week, even though I wanted to see Auburn go to the College World Series, but it was cool to see how many of their fans made the trip, and I'd love to see those fans rewarded with a, if it can't be Auburn, would love to see some of those fans rewarded with a with a championship, and that's a heck of a team.
Yeah,
like I saw a graphic the other day, Coach. You can track it down online because this is an audio medium, and I can't really. I'll do my best to describe it, but the catcher for Coastal, Bodine, he's up for the Buster Posey College Catcher of the Year Award. Someone affiliated with Coastal Baseball put out a graphic, and it was different pitches that have been called strikes this year that Harrison Bodine caught. And these are all, some of them are bouncing off the plate. Some of them are 2 feet above the strike zone.
Right.
They're well inside and outside. Like, this guy has on top of what he does with the bat, that Coastal catcher has a crazy gift for framing. Like, his ability to make it seem like a strike, which I know some people aren't crazy about the practice of framing, but it's on the ump to get the call right.
Right.
The catcher shouldn't be influencing
baseball forever.
Yeah. And the strike zone's a strike zone.
That's right.
Like he is fantastic at
he's very good. The
little game of making the ump think
the
that
little
a,
things.
Yeah. That making the ump think a borderline strike or in fact a ball that missed the strike zone entirely caught the edge. And he's so on top of everything else he can do. And people are talking about him as a first round pick next month. I imagine if he's not, he's got a year of eligibility remaining. And if he wanted to,
make some green,
if it was a Jerry Maguire situation and it was time to show him the money, I imagine there'd be a college baseball program. And this isn't, that's not what it's about this weekend for Coastal or for Murray State or for anybody else.
Right.
But the fact that you can, on top of everything else, the thought that you can, make make a name for yourself this weekend if you're a mid-major player that wants to.
It's just another great thing about being able to do that now. It's just a cherry on top.
Yeah.
You have a great series. And you can make a great deal financially.
I mean, how many eyes are on?
Well, like the Western Kentucky pitcher that we got.
Absolutely.
They had a great year. Best year in years, maybe ever. And a couple of those guys are going to make some money now.
You got to imagine. I think the NCAA tournament provides that opportunity for guys in men's basketball, too.
Oh, yeah.
Men's and women's basketball.
Oh, yeah,
you can, it's a spotlight, especially when you get past the. When you get into the double digit seeds early, and then when you get into the Sweet 16, I mean, the spotlight is on some of these schools in a way that it really isn't,
and you can
parlay that potentially into a sweet little payday, quite possibly. That's Don Dunn. Drew's at the controls. I'm Dan Peck. 334-321-1390, the Drive Hotline, presented by our friends at Skybar. Stick around. More of The Drive when we come back.
The Drive with Bill Cameron, 211-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back. Hour number one here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Want to thank Steve Z, who texts into the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, 334-564-1840. We were talking about the home record of some of the Florida coaches of yore, and I'm using that correctly, right? So, of yore. It's like Christmas time.
Dang.
Spurrier was 68-5 in 12 seasons as the head coach of the Florida Gators. I hope people remember. Like, that's a guy I hope does not get lost to future generations.
Yeah,
like,
what a great guy.
I hope folks who are, like, new to the sport, who missed 90 to 2015.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they know, and I know I'm chopping off some early years there, but peak Spurrier.
Yeah.
I hope folks like go back and do whatever research you need to or watch whatever you need to, because that was just those Florida teams
and
were
what a character.
And changed, I think changed a lot of minds as far as the role of throwing the football.
Exactly.
In having some of these in having some of these offenses and how much you can win with a quarterback you know, driven, you know, downfield passing attack. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I think there's a, and then Urban Meyer,
yeah,
36-5 in his tenure, 5 seasons at the helm in Florida. We were just talking about one of those 5 losses coming to Auburn, courtesy of the 2007 team. But no, that team, and that was the first of his losses in Gainesville. But that team, yeah, did not lose. They didn't lose very often at home,
right?
Either. I mean, you think about like, I mean, a lot of that's Tebow. Yeah. Right, it's like that's Tebow.
They had good defenses.
They had a lot of NFL players on defense. Yeah. They also had, and I, you know, I'm surprised more teams haven't sort of stolen this with the proliferation of spread offenses. Florida had those small, really fast running backs. Remember, like Florida had like Brandon James and Chris Rainey, like these guys that were just like they were not every down NFL style running backs. They were probably sub 190 pounds, but they were home run threats every time. And you had so much else to worry about that a pretty simple quarterback draw could turn into something really big. I feel like Ontario McCaleb had a little bit of that. Corey Grant, you know, had some of that at Auburn too, but you haven't really seen a lot of that sort of like the small running back stuff, but that Florida team was couldn't have been easy to prepare for, Coach.
No. No, they had a lot of weapons, and, you know, the biggest weapon, like you said, was Tebow. And, you know, he could beat you running the ball even. And, you know, you forget how strong and big and physical he was. Seemed like they always had a goal line play, some kind of, you know, the jump pass or the quarterback, you know, rolling out or some crazy stuff.
You guys in 06 did a really good job the first year that Tebow came in with Chris Leak as the starter and Tebow as the backup. You guys did a great job because they were just bringing in Tebow as like a short yardage running back.
Right.
And you guys would sell out and just sent. And Trey Blackmon made his debut that night.
Yeah. And that was here, right?
Yes. 06 was here and you beat them.
Yeah.
I think that was Florida's only loss en route to the national championship that year. But you guys beat them. You guys beat them here, and that was when Tebow and Trey Blackmon each got a running start, right? I mean, you could hear it in the press box. Like that thing, it was like the Thor's hammer hitting Captain America's shield or something. And it was just, I mean, just like sonic waves coming off the field. But I thought you guys did a great job of because ever since then, folks have been chasing, well, let's put in the backup quarterback and have him run. And it's like sometimes you'll run into a defense that's not fooled by that.
Right.
And they send 8 and they either, you know, they're Florida started using that jump pass.
Yeah.
Like the jump pass became sort of a reaction to defenses.
Especially on the goal line.
But you guys did a great job not letting Tebow find any sort of daylight, and they were sort of exposing that at that point they weren't letting him, switch it and throw it to one of his receivers. He had to keep the ball and run.
Set play,
and you guys were I thought that was a big part of Auburn's that and the Trey Blackmon or the Trey Smith punt return. Flipping into the end zone, the block punt, one of the an all time Jordan Hare moment from that game.
That kid did so much for this football team. You know, we moved him. Bobby Petrino did a great job when we had all the injuries. We go to Tuscaloosa and they move him to tailback and moved him around, and he rushed for I forgot what. And I think we beat him 9-0.
Tell you what, Coach, that one's probably on the list too.
Yeah, no way we should have won that.
Of when you're thinking like, I don't know what the mentality was going in. No Cadillac, no Ronnie.
Yeah.
To the 0-2 Iron Bowl, but the thought, and I don't know how much, and I don't have it in front of me how much Trey Smith had played that season, especially at tailback.
Yeah, no kidding. What was it, 17-7? I think.
Yeah, that's Robert Johnson.
Yeah,
has a couple of touchdowns. Yeah. But Trey is the. I mean, Trey's ability to keep him off balance and provide a running attack.
It looked like he'd be tackled and he'd get another extra yard. Tough little kid.
Because the 03, if you remember the thought, I mean the picture, the picture in 03, it's Cadillac, it's Ronnie, it's Brandon Jacobs, who had been the number one running back in junior college that year. By the way, have you seen a picture of Brandon Jacobs Jr.?
No, I have not.
Would you believe he's considerably larger than dad? Like I think he's an offensive lineman, Brandon Jacobs Jr. is a, you know what? That's one of those where I'd make him an offer based on those three words.
Yeah.
You tell me it's Brandon Jacobs Jr.
Yeah.
And I may get an official visit based on that alone. But but Ronnie Cadillac, Brandon Jacobs, and Trey are the four running backs. Trey Smith are the four running backs on the cover, and that's the depth at running back was that's one of the I think people would be shocked to realize how deep that room was in hindsight. Folks who weren't around for that season.
It kind of reminds you of the old Auburn, the old running back Hugh back in the old days. When you had all the great running backs.
But even then, I don't know if they had
four.
I don't know if you had two of the top five picks in the NFL draft on the team very often. That's another one. I don't think we'll ever see that again with the way the NFL has changed.
Right.
The thought of two teammates at running back going in the top five at the same NFL draft.
And the quarterback.
Like, let alone a run. Think about how special a running back has to be in the top five of NFL. Yeah. Two of them? Teammates? Anyways, 334-321-1390. Always fun to talk with Don Dunn about anything here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Love to hear from you as we bring it back for hour number two. Stick around.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, hour number two, here on a beautiful Friday. In the Auburn Opelika area, a little overcast. I know some storms blowing in. I didn't talk about it too much, and this I guess an unsolicited plug. But I did a little river rafting in Montgomery earlier today at that new place over by Maxwell, and had a great time. I got some family in town, and wanted we're showing them different things to do in the area, and. My 12-year-old niece got a real kick out of the rafting and only overturned a couple of times. Uh-huh. So
in a raft or a kayak?
We're in a raft. We did the raft. I've kayaked the Coosa
we're in take a barge.
We're in. I'm right there. You and I are in an arc.
A tugboat.
But I did a little bit of the rafting and had a great time. It was busy. I'm enthused by the possibility. Folks checking that out. But
it looks great on TV. I have been there in person, but it looks really nice.
Yeah, had a great time. I remember because my dad was stationed in Maxwell during parts of my childhood and some of my time here at Auburn. I remember that area looking different. I remember it, it's cool to see what they've done with the white water, and that's hopefully folks continue to go and check that out while the weather cooperates. 334-321-1390 the number to dial. Not to pull like Bill's in the yard all day.
Uh-huh.
But man, the rafting does take it out of you. Like I'm powering through, Coach. But it is a physical grind. Shout out to it's some folks' job just to do that all day, right? The instructors and the guides and stuff. So shout out to those folks for finding a way through powering through every single day.
That's true.
334-321-1390 is the number to dial. That's the Drive Hotline presented by our friends at Skybar. Going to be a busy weekend at Skybar, assuredly. Want to go and check out. They got the new floor up front, by the way. They were closed up front for a couple of days and put in a new floor.
So we won't lose our phones.
Yeah, well, one time my phone fell through those cracks. And also one time Bill's seat slipped through and he took an on-air dive. I turned the mic off as he was going down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just out of instinct. But had I not done that, it would have been a pretty famous clip that we could have had forever. So, but he was okay. That was the most. That was the most important thing. But no, shout out to our friends at Sky Bar on a Friday night as the as they sponsor the Drive Hotline 334-321 334-321-1390. You've got the you've also got the Drive text box 334-564-1840, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcast. We'll have Jake Crane at 5:30, talk a little College World Series, mm-hmm. Talk a little bit. I mean, first time since the House settlement passed last Friday. You know, the approval of the House settlement by Judge Wilkins that we're going to talk with Jake, and it seems. Like, I mean, it's not as drastic a shift as allowing NIL in the first place, because that seemed to open up the floodgates for folks to contribute directly to athletes and legal compensation. I mean, before the NIL ruling in like 2019, 2020, before Bo posted about Milo's at midnight, you know, that summer, before we had that, I mean, you had guys getting suspended for autographs, right? Like you had scandals where guys were, what was Ohio State? Like they didn't have money for tattoos, so yeah. They were trading memorabilia to tattoo artists, right. And it like ended Jim Tressel's time.
Crazy. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Johnny Manziel, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, you got superstars, Todd Gurley and Johnny Manziel, right. missing time for trading autographs for mm-hmm. money. And yeah, I mean, I think rulings that changed a lot of that. Yeah. Were probably more important, but the fact that now you've got, like, I mean, we're entering into at the beginning of next month an era where schools can offer direct compensation, revenue sharing to athletes as part of their compensation package, as part of their scholarship deal, and schools will, you know, they'll have the authority to dole that out, you know, however they see fit,
right?
But it's a pretty, and even though. Yeah, I know there's been the thought that NIL groups are working in collaboration with coaches, and they have it like it has not been nearly as official or as sanctioned as it will be once July 1st comes around. And it really, I mean, it probably won't change too much about what you see on the field. You know, it's still going to be college football. Mm-hmm. It's still going to be college basketball, but a lot changing behind the scenes when you think about schools being allowed to, on top of putting everyone fully on scholarship,
right?
You know, but the thought that schools now have this $20.5 million that they are allowed to directly share with their student athletes as part of a revenue sharing deal.
Yeah, very interesting. I don't know. I just feel bad for the small schools because I coached at a lot of small schools. I worry about where they're going to go. Where are the Western Kentuckys, the Montana States, you know, the Eastern Kentuckys. What are they going to do?
I think it's going to be tougher. I know the schools are opting in at a lot of those conference levels, the mid major level. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to hit the $20.5 million right. or try to spend on football and men's basketball like mm-hmm. the power conference schools. I don't know if they can, mm-hmm. you know, and still make financial sense, you know, across the board. I do wonder if, you know, especially in football, if we're moving towards like a sort of a class of, you know, it's going to be a pretty clear line between the haves and the have-nots, right. more so than it's been. And if that's the case, I do sort of wonder if the have-nots should be competing for the same championship as the haves. You know, I think it's kind of controversial. Where are you on, like, splitting a Group of Five championship? Like, would you think that, like, if you told the mid-majors at the bowl subdivision, like, if you had a tournament for them with their, like, yeah, because I feel like that's maybe more plausible than.
Yeah, I would like that. I really would. You know, you have the big boys, and then you have a playoff like the so-called 1AA does or did.
Yeah, I just think that something like that, you know, for a, I don't think it would weaken or cheapen the
product,
the main national, like the major conference national champion. Right. But I do think that some sort of real championship for, you know, and you know, you'd probably need to pretty clearly delineate like who's at one level and who's at the other.
Right, but, and that might be your bowl teams too. You know, who knows? Who knows?
But I'd love to, I mean, I'd probably rather see, you know, certainly considering how uncompetitive the first round of the 14 team playoff was this year.
Yeah.
Like I didn't come away from this year's playoff thinking, oh, you know, the problem is there aren't enough teams in it. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we need more teams in this thing. And I was thinking like maybe fewer teams and maybe a separate championship for teams that aren't going to be at actual college football playoff level.
Right.
And you'd maybe get some interesting matchups if you know, Boise against the Sun Belt champion.
Yeah.
And you know, so, and some of the other matchups that you could get at that level. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. Let's get to the phones. And Bill is hanging on. What's up, Bill?
How you doing, Dan? I was, since we're reminiscing about old games, I was going to run this by you and Coach Dunn. My favorite was the, because I went to that game, because I go to a lot of games, but that Tennessee game of 04, we went up there, I didn't really think we could beat them. But not only did we beat, but I got favorite of all.
Bill, you're breaking up on us, which is too bad because I really do want to hear the story, the memories of that 04 Tennessee game. Okay, yeah. See if Bill's maybe going to try us back, but Bill's someone who's been going to these games.
Yeah.
For, you know, he goes on the road happy to represent Auburn, one of the witnesses, and I can't imagine for someone who, you know, if you're part of the Auburn contingent in that stadium in 04, like, I mean, you had to think maybe Auburn can win, maybe Auburn can keep it close. Yeah, I mean, it's blown out. It's a good Tennessee team, but you know, and Auburn just goes
night
out there.
Game and Neyland.
Yeah, but ooh. Auburn just, I mean, just had all the answers on both sides of the ball. I mean, I think people remember the interceptions. Jason was so sharp that night and had a couple of plays where, I think that's the thing people, like, you know, personnel-wise, not too much changed about the offense from 03 to 04. Mm-hmm. Like, the offensive line got a year older, but a lot of those same guys that were there in 03 were stars of that 04 offense.
Right.
I think a lot of it was Jason playing more confident, Jason feeling better about going downfield, and you couldn't key in on Ronnie and Cadillac the way you could if Jason was playing confident, assured football.
Right.
334-321-1390. Is Bill back? All right, let's try Bill again. Sorry about that, Bill. We were excited to hear your story about the 04 Tennessee game.
Yeah, I'm out in the country, so I'm just broken up. But yeah, that was, since we're reminiscing old game, that Tennessee game in 04. I remember going to that game, not thinking we really, just hoping we'd be competitive. And
right.
That was early on, and we did not, you know, before that team really emerged. And probably one of the more enjoyable games to watch. I'm sure Coach Dunn enjoyed that too. But
absolutely. I mean, Coach cited that when in the first hour when we were talking about, you know, games that didn't necessarily go the way you thought they were going to go heading in. 04 Tennessee is, I mean, that's one of those. I mean, even if you liked Auburn's chances, I don't think you saw, you know, I don't think you saw that coming. And Auburn, that's one of the great. You think about the great moments of the 04 season. That's one of them. I mean, that first victory over Tennessee was a statement. You guys made that night.
Yes, I remember the Florida games. I mean, you and Coach Tubbs had a lot of success going down the – I can't remember the other one, but that was a great win down there. And, of course, nobody expected to beat them down. And the one back up here –
yeah, 06, 06 and 07 were the two Florida wins that we talked about a little bit too. The two wins over Meyer and Tebow when Auburn. I mean, I think I don't even know if Auburn was the underdog in 06. I think that game was like a very, it was probably, because the game was in Jordan-Hare, mm-hmm. and Auburn had been the number two team in the country pretty recently leading into that game. Like, that game was probably close to a coin flip. Florida comes out and looks great to start. You know, they're averaging 11, 12 yards a play.
Yeah.
They don't have very many points.
Right.
But they're moving the football. Gashness. They're moving the football in that first half, and it's not trending Auburn's way.
It's scary.
You guys get some stops. You block that punt.
Yeah.
Tommy Tuberville said, and I'll never forget this, at least once in the weeks leading up to that game, and I think it was something he used to say all the time, Coach,
mm-hmm.
that the punt is the most important play in football because when it goes wrong, it can be such a momentum shift one way or the other. People won't believe me when I say as Florida's dropping back to punt
right.
in their own goal line, I'm thinking about hearing Coach Tuberville say, like, it's not a and I know you can be snarky about it because it's like, well, you know, there are times when he punted a lot.
Right.
But it's like but the fact is, if you when that goes wrong, whether it's a block or it goes over the head of the. Did Riley's picture just fall down from the?
I don't know what happened.
I think so. I think Riley's picture just fell off the wall behind Drew there.
That ghost.
Okay, so we're talking. Yeah, we're talking
about superstitions. I'm gone. I'll see y'all
on Friday the 13th.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
That's the first thing that falls. No, but the thought that you. The thought that you're able to pull that off, it's crazy.
Yeah. Very, very, very big play, you say. The play, I think.
334-321-1390, the number to dial as we – I'll tell you what, we'll take a break and we'll come back with more, and I will I'll see if I can find out which fell and nearly hit Drew here in the studio as we continue here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Friday edition of The Drive, Dan Peck in the studio. Don Dunn hanging out with us. The coach, you got a little you on the smoker tonight, Coach?
Oh yeah. Father's Day, got a few more things going out Sunday. I noticed we have some orders going out tomorrow and Sunday. Open Father's Day. Hadn't been as busy because, you know, summertime it slows down, school being out.
I think we're about 6 weeks away from a pretty nonstop. I mean, I get the sense it's about the last week of July these days when the students start to come back.
Yeah.
Get rush picking up
right around that same
time period. And
you know, it's hot. People, you know, don't go out to eat as much. And, you know, a lot of people are out of town.
I remember thinking it was pretty crazy that we had baseball action until last weekend. You know, I mean, we're still hosting sporting events and stuff. I mean, there's baseball in June. There's gonna be a football game in August.
Yeah,
right. I mean, we're not talking about time. Not a lot.
Once you get to July 4th, I always thought as a coach it's over, and that's kind of what it was for us. You got
about 2 weeks left in the genuine off season because once July 4th rolls around, you probably have a regimented set of things to do every week.
Yeah,
and pretty soon it'll be game week.
In the old days, like we were talking yesterday on the show, you know, we would have our camps. You know, our senior camps, our prospect camps, little kids camps, we called them 7-on-7s. They all ended about this coming Wednesday in the old days. Now I know now they can recruit through the end of June.
I think there might be some camp activity this weekend. I think I saw some kids.
There's a lot of kids on campus.
Yeah, I think I saw a lot of football pads going on.
I saw band camps, cheerleading camps.
Yeah.
That time of year.
I think so. 334-321-1390, The Drive Hotline presented by Sky Bar. Ty the Tiger is on the phone. What's up, Ty?
What's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Good to hear from y'all too, man. It's going to be a beautiful weekend and good Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to both y'all.
Thank you.
And all the good.
And everybody out there.
That's right. All the good War Eagle fathers, even the Updike fathers, we'll give them a good Father's Day too, man. Look, I got two memories for you. Okay, these are my favorite two memories of Auburn football. One is the game. Okay, now I wasn't at the prayer in Jordan-Hare or the kick six, so I imagine it may have been louder at those games when those happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally have never been to a game.
Hold on, can I guess, Ty? Can I guess what you're about to say?
Yes, go ahead.
Are you about to say the 06 Florida game that when the punt's blocked?
No.
Okay. No. Well, because I've heard multiple people who were at the prayer at Jordan-Hare who have told me they thought that when Auburn blocked the punt in 06 against Florida, like that's the only thing they can think of. Cadillac 03 breaking off the run to start that Iron Bowl, mm-hmm. but a handful of moments where they thought it reached that kind of fever pitch.
Now, my favorite Auburn memory, we lived in Shady Glen, and the whole neighborhood, we had a good little clique, about 12 to 15 people. We made a sign. This was the LSU 2010 LSU game. We made a sign that said, "Mass times acceleration equals Newton." And put Shady Glee. And that is the true scientific formula for Newton. that was what it was.
I like that.
But I'm telling you guys, we were all, and if you go to the CBS broadcast, you can we made it on TV.
Yep.
They showed our sign, and we were on the ramp because we couldn't get tickets together. We just got student tickets. We were all broke college kids trying to get in, man. So we made a sign, and we were all on the ramp, man, and we were there, and I've never heard it louder than that 49-yard run when Cam met Patrick Peterson at about the 15-yard line and dragged his butt in the end zone. That was the absolute loudest I've ever personally been in the stadium and heard that. Because at that point, we knew we were good, we knew we were contenders, and we knew we had to get through LSU. And when that happened, guys, I'm telling you, it probably registered a little bit on the earthquake scale because it was. I mean, I thought the stadium was going to collapse. That was the loudest I've ever been in that stadium.
I was sold on Cam pretty early on in that season. But I get the sense that LSU game too was a moment where it's like, yeah, let's see it against a great team, and let's see him do it against the kind of athletes that you could play in an SEC championship game or in a national championship game. And LSU was a game where you absolutely saw it against a team that was. I mean, LSU was maybe
they were good.
Were they the preseason favorite that year? Bama's the reigning national champion. LSU's probably the preseason number two. Going into preseason, you know, second best team in the SEC that year, and Auburn.
They were high up there.
Yes, they were.
They were high up there. And it was a top 10 matchup. And I don't think they had lost at that point. Neither one of us had lost. I think we were both undefeated or they had one loss. But they were good. And I got, like I said, that, and just being with the guys from Shady Glen, getting on TV, that was just that nostalgic, just a really good old school. Like, that was awesome.
No, I love that.
Now, here's my second memory, okay? And you got to cut me off if I go too long, but I'm going to try to make it very, very quick. So I went to school with Antoine Caldwell, All-American center for Alabama. His family had some tickets, and we went and got some tickets. And we went down to Jacksonville, Florida. It was Saban's first year. And we went down to Jacksonville, Florida, and watched Alabama and Florida State play one of the most boring games I ever seen in my life. We're leaving the stadium, and I'm an Auburn fan, but I'm with my Bama fan again. I'm supporting my boy I went to school with. I remember him signing in at the Robert E. Lee Library. I mean, you know, God, and if he ain't listening, but Antoine's one of the best kids that ever stepped foot on Robert E. Lee and deserved every scholarship he ever got, and I'm so happy for him.
That's Bama Florida State 07? Probably.
Yes, Bama Florida State 07 in Jacksonville. Jaguar Stadium.
Yeah.
Yep. So we come out of the thing, and
those are not two contenders battling that season.
No, we just got free tickets from his parents, so we went. And obviously, Bama loses the most boring game I've ever watched in person, and it was horrendous. But either way, we get out of the stadium and
I'll tell you what, Ty. The last couple of years of Bowden has some hard to watch teams at Florida State. The last couple seasons,
you're right. But he beat Saban that day.
They won. No, even in some games they won. They were not. That was not a pleasant team to watch
terrible.
In the last couple of years.
They were terrible. Yes. So anyway, we get out of the stadium. We get in our car, and we turn it, and I'm like, well, I want to see what the Auburn, because this is back before you got the ESPN app and all this kind of stuff. You know, you got to turn on the radio and listen. So we turn on the radio.
Call information to find out what happened.
Yeah. So we get in the car, and we try to figure out what we're going to do, and all of a sudden we're listening to the game. We start listening to the game, and I said, oh, crap, dude. Auburn's finna beat number one Florida. And I said, yeah. What do you want to do? My partner looked at me and said, how far is Gainesville? I said, I think an hour? So we literally drove to Gainesville after watching the Alabama-Florida State game and did not sleep. So my favorite game is 2010 LSU. My favorite party is 07 Gainesville, where we beat the number one team. And I'm telling you, if you were there, you know. But if you won't, you don't. But that was a party. We shut Gainesville down.
That's
man,
great.
That was great.
That's fun.
Y'all have a good Father's Day.
Thank you.
Always, man, War Damn Eagle.
Thank you, buddy.
Wonderful stuff, Ty the Tiger. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah. Great, just great stuff from our guy, and yeah, can't say it enough. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there. We will have Jake Crane when we come back and join in with our good buddy. What do you got, Coach?
Got a quick text from a good friend of mine in town, and he said the Grove sack on third down was so loud you could feel the pressure in your chest before the block punt. I forgot about that.
That's
he sent me a clip.
Yeah.
Shout out to my buddy.
It goes and chases Chris Leak down. You're absolutely right before
awesome.
That. Good call. 334-321-1390. Going to take the calls on hold for just a sec, though, because we're going to call our buddy Jake Crane from Crane & Company. Talk to him in the next segment. Stick around. You are listening to the Friday edition of The Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two on a Friday. Dan Peck in the studio. Coach Don Dunn hanging out with us. Drew at the controls. Bill on assignment this weekend. He'll be back on Monday. We've had a fun show talking. Not a ton of really urgent new stuff to break down. You know, we'll talk a little College World Series with our buddy Jake. But really more, you know, get into some fun memories, reminiscing about some games. Started with a conversation about games that you were totally wrong about, games where the outcome, you know, really caught you by surprise. I think that led to memories of some pretty famous Auburn victories, and always thrilled to welcome in to the conversation our guests, usually on Tuesdays, but gracious enough to join us on Fridays as we had to shift some things around this week. And it's our pal from Crane & Company, Jake Crane, on the phone. What's up, Jake?
Oh, fellas, what is up? What a great Friday. The weather kind of cleared up here in Nashville. We got a couple of racks of ribs on the grill. Ooh. Watching some College World Series in golf. It's great to be an American, I can tell you
yes,
that much.
Sir. Hey, yes, sir.
You know, you're talking with a rack of ribs expert here, Jake. So I'm, you know, gonna keep a low and slow, right, Coach?
Yeah, low and slow.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. I'm actually using that method right now. I marinate mine with honey and brown sugar, so I'm hoping to see how these come out good. So nothing's ever tasted bad with brown sugar on it. At least that's
exactly.
What I
think. You're exactly right.
You're speaking the right language here on a Friday before Coach goes in and hits the smoker himself. Jake, we were chatting about and you know, if you got one that comes to mind immediately, you know, it can be a game you're real confident in and it didn't go your way, or a game where you maybe thought your team didn't have much of a chance and it goes the other way, but games that you know games you were wrong about, games that totally caught you off guard, you know, that you remember from your time.
Well, you know, before I started doing the media part of this, I still think the game that caught me the most off guard, and I want to say it was, was it 2008? It's when we went down to Florida with Cody Burns at quarterback, and they had Tebow, and Wes Byram hit the two field goals back-to-back after they called timeout after the one, and we won it after Lou Holtz said that, you know, there's a better chance of I don't know, him being a Rockette or something than Auburn winning that game.
We've been talking a lot about your 06 and 07, both Auburn victories 06, against Florida. 06 is 06 is at home with the block punt.
The Trey Smith flip, right?
Yes,
yeah,
which
the Trey Smith flip. Yeah, Coach, so it was 07.
Coach Dunn, we were just talking about the Quentin Grove sack to set up that punt. And then the blocked punt, you know, and the touchdown, and then 07, Auburn is a pretty significant underdog against reigning national champion Florida, goes in there and beats. That was Urban Meyer's first loss at home in the Swamp.
Yeah, and you know, Tebow never beat Auburn. You know, but I tell you another one that went the other way. God, this is even before that. I can't even remember the year, but you know, this is back with Jefferson Pilot when Auburn played Arkansas at home at 11 o'clock, and Fred Talley just went nuts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Thanks for bringing that up.
I mentioned, oh, God, Coach, I'm sorry, man. No. I'm going to be honest with you, right when I started talking about that, I was like, please don't let Coach Dunn have been
I mentioned the other Arkansas game, Jake, so we've done a good job. I mentioned the
Darren Coach Dunn, y'all won so much. I mean, there's only
that's what I mean.
A couple black eyes.
Appreciate that. Yeah, there aren't that many of them, Coach.
What's funny, buddy, is I had a friend who used to come to all the games from Georgia, and he would call me like a week, a month, a year later, said, Fred Talley just ran by your window again, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually think I just saw him run through my backyard. Yeah.
And then in 06, the joke was McFadden and Felix Jones are trying to catch up to him. They're running to go.
I'm leaving.
Yeah. Well, it's sorry to ruin the Friday, guys, but funny. You asked the question.
No, the fact is, yeah, I mean, I mentioned it to Coach Jake, like, there aren't that many. Florida 07 feels like the exception because there weren't that many games in the Tuberville era where it's like, oh, Auburn's a huge underdog going into a game like this. And that Florida game was the rare exception. Then Auburn goes and actually wins in Gainesville. So, yeah, some fun stuff there. You mentioned you're watching the College World Series. Jake, I was so impressed with Coastal Carolina last weekend and the way they took care of business in those two victories. And also, as a three-time Sun Belt champion myself, I would love to see a team from the Belt, you know, go and bring home a natty. So what can you say about, you know, who you like in this field, and what's your takeaway from the way Coastal not only played in Auburn last weekend, but also getting the victory today?
Well, you know, when I came on here the week of the Super Regionals, I sat here and said, like, do not get the name or the brand twisted, and let's not forget Coastal Carolina's won a national championship.
Yeah, they're nobody's Cinderella, right? Like, they're nobody's Cinderella in this thing.
No, not at all, and they beat us in every aspect. They had more dog in us when it came down to it. Now, look, Auburn overachieved, I thought, this year, and it was a great bounce-back year and coaching job from Butch Thompson. And gives them a lot of momentum going into next year. But Coastal, I mean, Coastal just better. You know, they beat us in a high-scoring game, the first one. You know, if you don't score runs in the bottom of the ninth with runners on first and second and nobody out, you don't deserve to win the game. And Coastal, they deserve to win it. They stopped Auburn when it mattered the most. And then, you know, Roland Morrison out there, that's the difference. You know, they have an SEC pitching rotation better than most SEC teams, I think, and it's not just a couple starters. I mean, the guys they're bringing out of the pen in long relief and then in short relief, Lynch is as good as any closers you're going to find in college baseball. I think him and Hawk from UCLA are the two best. I mean, Hawk's 96-98 with a slide piece that'll just buckle you. But I was just thoroughly impressed. Jake,
that Coastal catcher's a pro.
I think he should win the Buster Posey Award.
Guy's a pro. I was talking about the infographic I saw of, like, the different pitches that he had turned into called strikes this year.
Well, that dude's framed more people than Jussie Smollett. I mean, it's when you look at the thing is, if he was just a defensive guy, you know, there's a lot of those guys. The defensive catcher that's great, but he's a liability at the plate. I mean, this guy bats leadoff, and he's a switch hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And he can hit to all fields. He can hit for power. You know, he hits for average. He's a professional baseball player. And I think Coastal overall had more professional baseball players. Now, look, Ike Irish is just on another level right now. I mean, Ike is just a freak. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're just better. They're just better, and they showed it against Arizona. But I tell you, I thought the best betting favorite was UCLA at plus 900. You can get some good value on that. They're a really, really good baseball team. I really like their rotation. They're solid defensively. They can hit for power. But, you know, you play in that park in Omaha, you're not going to be bashing home runs like you were in the regionals and the super regionals, because now gappers go from doubles to triples. Guys from first base score a lot easier. You can play small ball a little bit. That's why I think it kind of plays to the way that Louisville plays a little bit as well. They get on the base pass and they run. They've got great team speed. They understand who they are. So it's going to be a great World Series, man. I'm really excited for it.
When's the SEC versus SEC game? Is that tonight?
No, that's tomorrow. That's tomorrow. LSU and Arkansas. I think it's the last game of the first round.
I think a lot of folks would tell you, like, the winner of that game between their relative strength compared to the rest of the field and the fact that they would have put the other SEC team in the loser's bracket, the winner of that game maybe becomes the favorite. Like, what do you think of that logic?
Well, I mean, you look at the betting odds. It's Arkansas first, and then it's LSU. I think it's unfortunate they're having to play in the first game. I understand that's the way it works out with the seeding and you know, just we say the same thing in March Madness. But I will say whoever loses that game, I think, is about best equipped as anybody to be able to come out of the loser's bracket. And what I love about the College World Series is that if you make it to the championship series, it now becomes the best 2 of 3. So it's kind of a reset. So if you fight your way out of the loser's bracket, it's all even Stevens with a team that fought themselves out of the winner's bracket. So, you know, either one of those teams, I like Arkansas to win it overall. I mean, shocker there, they're the favorite. But Dave Van Horn is the Michael Jordan of Rick Barnes's, so we'll see if they blow it or not.
And what about a team that you can call a Cinderella in this thing, right? Like Murray State.
Well, I mean, it's got to be Murray State.
Racers are, I mean, look, Fresno State won this thing as a 4-seed automatic qualifier about 20 years ago. It was a great story. You don't see it very often in college baseball. You don't see 4-seeds in Omaha very often, and yet here the Racers are.
And Ole Miss did it too, didn't they?
Ole Miss, I think, was a 3. They were the last
team.
Were
they a 3? I know they were one of the last teams in the field. But
they were the last team in the field as an at-large and won the whole thing a couple of years ago. But yeah, Fresno did it as a 4, you know, coming from a small conference. And Murray, I mean, what a run they're on.
No, it's and again, I mean, this is what makes, you know, college athletics, you know, so incredible, is that you still have these things. I mean, in pro sports, we've seen the Royals win a World Series. We see, you know, we got 2 small market teams in the NBA Finals for all 11 people that are watching that. But as far as college athletics with Murray State, it's a great story. I really like their coach. You know, they play the game the right way, and they're just unfazed. You can tell they've played together for a long time because they're just unfazed. I mean, you make it all the way to the championship game of the regional against Ole Miss in Oxford. You lose the first game. You could have shut it down, but you come back, you find a way. Same thing against Duke. You hit a big home run in the 8th inning to send yourself to, oh man, why not? They're playing with house money, man. They're playing with house money. It's like winning a $200 scratch off and going to the casino. The worst thing I can do is end up even.
Absolutely right. Cannot wait to see how the college baseball shakes out over the next couple of days. Omaha's one of the best postseasons anywhere.
Most underrated postseason sporting event in all of sports.
Yeah, I mean, I know some Auburn people that went the last time Auburn made the trip to the College World Series, and yeah, it sounds like a. Now that you know, check that off the list. You know, if you get the chance to see your team.
If only Julian could have thrown it to first.
Yeah, you know, if that's the state game, right?
Yeah. Throw the ball to first, dog. You do it every day.
That is an unfortunate part of the memory there, Jake. Great stuff as always. Really appreciate you giving us a little bit of time, Jake. Tell everybody how they can find your show.
Yeah, look, it's really easy. If you watch yourself, we're on Roku and YouTube. It's Crane and Company, Crain and Company. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, there's other ones I'm just not smart enough to remember. And we had a huge Baylor-Auburn preview that we dropped today that you need to go check out, because I'm telling you right now, the more I look at Baylor, the more worried I get. This is not, you know, I know they went 3-9 a couple years ago, but this is a team that can do some things, especially on the offensive side of the ball, which is weird to say about a Dave Aranda coach team.
Yeah.
And last year, in aggregate, they were the number one special teams team in the country. Do not sleep on that. And Josh Cameron as a punt returner. I hope that Aussie we got can just hit him to the moon to eliminate him. But it's going to be a fun matchup.
What caught your eye previewing this this Baylor team next season?
Well, it's you know, again, they were so bad on defense last year. It's amazing that they won 8 games. I just don't see them being as bad as they were defensively last year. But when I look at their offense, especially if Hawkins gets cleared through this NCAA waiver, he's trying to go the Diego Pavia route with the JUCO stuff. I mean, they got Kobe Prentice from Bama that transferred over there. Josh Cameron, I think he's an NFL player at wide receiver. The question is, they're really good on the interior of the offensive line, but it's at tackle. I think Auburn has a big advantage there. But Auburn's in, and Coach Dunn, you know this better than anybody, Auburn's interior defensive line has to show up
right.
and to be able to at least stalemate these guys up front to
right.
make Sawyer Robertson throw it to beat them, because it's kind of a diet air raid system with Spavital.
Right.
They got 2 backs that rushed for 1,700 yards combined Ooh. Last year. So this Baylor team, this ain't going to be a walk amongst the tulips by any stretch.
Right. I like Spavital. We previewed Spavital's Cal team against Auburn a couple of years ago. Now, that team had some personnel problems and was not a terribly
God,
explosive.
I wish we could have played them.
Yeah, that was that's the 23. No, Auburn did play them in Berkeley.
That's right. He was the OC. That's right.
Yes,
that's
a year later, it was a different situation in Auburn.
Yeah, Fernando Mendoza, goodness, and he's at Indiana. Watch out for that cat too.
Previewing this Auburn team. I mean, so much of it feels like it hinges on Jackson Arnold, and you're really not going to know until you see him, facing live rounds, right?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, obviously the quarterback position is the most important position on the field, but, you know, Jackson's got all the talent in the world. He's got all the potential, but potential is just something you hadn't done yet. So, you know, when the lights come on, you got to shine. I mean, that's great that she, you know, likes you on Tinder, but if you don't go in there for a kiss when it feels right, it's not going to matter.
Jake, as always, a delight. Great to talk to you, Crane and Company. Folks can find it on YouTube, and happy Father's Day from all of us here at the show. Jake,
thanks,
always
it's our first one. I'm trying not to screw these ribs up.
Yeah,
man, appreciate y'all having me.
Got nothing but confidence in you. You know how to get in touch with Coach
Dunn.
If you need pointers, I am not above reaching out to Coach Dunn when I'm not sure what to do at the barbecue, and I'm sure he'll make some time for you as well.
Well, that's funny. I'm going to call him right when we get off the air. Get ready for that.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Right. Clear the phone lines. Right, happy Father's Day, Jake. We will talk to you again next week. Jake Crane from Crane & Company. Let's take our final break of the show and come back to wrap things up. You are listening to the Friday edition of The Drive.
If you truly care about...